as you get up and out and about. Hope you have a good Wednesday. And if you're not, well, hey, John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, is here, and he'll put a smile on anybody's face. Hi, Lays. How are you, buddy?
Hi, buddy. Yeah, Christmas music or me. Those are usually go-tos.
There you go. Just spreading good cheer and happiness everywhere. John Lazor.
Right.
John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. Talk some Hokie basketball coming up as the Hokies are back actually home in action. But we got to start as, I don't know if there's exact bowl fever, but the Hokies are off to the Belk Bowl. But before we get to that, to go back to Saturday night, I know we've talked about it. We talked about the game. We've talked about kind of the fallout and everything. But as you and Mike Burnup rolled out of the stadium on Saturday down Orlando, what was your lasting impression? What were your final thoughts on watching this team and what they did and how they fought Saturday night?
You know, it was interesting. My lasting impression was that was exactly what I was expecting to happen in terms of not the way the game went down, but where those two programs are, Wes, because, listen, Clemson is really, really good. And, you know, we've talked about it in basketball, I think, for years, where there's that tier of about 6 to 7 teams that are the Duke and Kentucky and those types that just have talent aplenty. And then you have the next 10 teams or so that have a player or two that can match those guys' ability but don't have the depth necessary. And in a one-game scenario, maybe they get the best of them because they make an extraordinary play. And I think that's where Virginia Tech is right now, building towards that level. And you saw that on display. I mean, the Hokies were full of heart. They played a sound game plan, particularly in the second half or second halves of the two halves, and really made some good adjustments and wore Clemson down a little bit. But when everybody was fresh, as in the beginning of the game and also the beginning of the second half, that talent differential was just too great for Tech to overcome. So nothing really surprised you about it. You knew what Clemson was going in. You knew what you were going in. I think there's a lot of pride. I certainly had that in the way that Tech played, and it gave you the signs that you're heading in the right direction, but you're not quite there yet.
Was your lasting impression of Clemson a team that could be had or one that could give Alabama a run for their money?
I think if it was anybody else other than Alabama, from what I've seen from that defense, Wes, I would say yes. But Alabama's defense just is so stifling that I don't know. I think that if anybody is going to give Alabama a run, it would be Clemson. But with that said, I don't know if they can get to Alabama, to be quite honest with you.
John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. If you go back, I don't know if you've had time to think about this, because there still is a bowl game and there still is a game to be played, but if you go back to August and think what you thought about this team and what they could be, in your preseason thoughts, what were you most right about? What were you most wrong about?
Well, it's funny because, like everybody else, I was excited about Jerrod Evans when he first committed here and first got onto campus, and then I was a little bit questioning of what caliber quarterback he would be after we saw him a little bit in the spring and he was struggling with the offensive installation, and then you wondered if this was going to be a team that was going to be similar to last year because most of the personnel was similar, particularly on the offensive side. So I was initially right about what I thought Evans was going to come in and do for this offense, and then I was wrong because I flipped like a lot of people did and maybe lowered my expectations as the season came around. All the way through, I thought the Hokies were going to be somewhere in the 8-4 region. They won all the games, though, that I thought they might struggle in this year, Wes, and they lost all the ones that I thought they would have no trouble with. I know I'm not alone in that camp. So it was a little bit bizarre from that standpoint, but I choose to take away the fact that they beat some very quality programs along the way rather than the games in which they didn't play well and lost, namely Syracuse.
Some fans excited about the Belk Bowl because it's so close to Charlotte. Some thinking that the Hokies should have gotten better. What are you hearing? What are you feeling?
I think it's perfect, to be honest with you, for Virginia Tech. I think that they could have, with all the things that go on behind the scenes with bowl selection, gone to the Russell Athletic Bowl. I think that would have been an option that Tech could have taken. But at the same time, I think being in Charlotte is a better position for where this program is. One, because when you go down to Orlando, that's basically the top tier of your fan base that can afford to go there. You know, it's going to cost you a couple of $1,000s with hotels and travel and all of those things. I think Charlotte being where it is, that invites every member – of Hokie Nation to come to the bowl game and have a party. It also brings in an opponent from a quality conference in the SEC, but an opponent that you're going to be favored against and should probably beat, in my estimation, and that gets you to 10 wins, and that keeps the outside perception and in the younger recruits of where this program is heading. So I think it has the opportunity, should the Hokies show up and play well and win the football game, of being the perfect destination. I have absolutely no problem with it whatsoever.
And the feel that you got from this team about the bowl that they got? Because sometimes that is a storyline. Sometimes it's like, oh, that's where we're going? Okay, we'll go. And then sometimes guys are amped up and hyped. What's the feel that you got from the team?
Yeah, you know, that was the feeling last year. With all due respect to Shreveport, Louisiana, and the Independence Bowl, they were geared up towards going to this bowl last year, if you recall, and that was an outside shot, and then that spot, I believe, went to NC State. So they're excited about it. I haven't spent a ton of time around the team just because this is exam week, and they haven't really been practicing, and the entire staff is out on the road recruiting. So they haven't been assembled as a group since they got back to Blacksburg from Orlando the other day, but just in the guys that I passed briefly, they're excited about it. They want to get to 10 wins and leave their mark on this season and hope that they are the first step towards getting back to the level where the classes that preceded them, of course, were at for about 10 to 12 years.
John Lazor brought to you by Cowan Gates. Hokies in basketball action tonight. We'll come back and talk some hoops. And also, we haven't done it in a while. We need to get a holiday version of the lightning round going. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
We'll do it next. John Lazor, Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910. Wes McElroy and John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you at any case. Tonight, Hokie basketball on 96.1 The Planet. That's 96.1 on your FM dial. It is Virginia Tech taking on Maryland Eastern Shore. And, you know, lost in all the football conversation and all the football stories the past week, the Hokie basketball team had a nice little run there during the holidays of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, they absolutely did. They had one that they'd love to get back against Texas A&M, a game that they pretty much controlled for the first 30 minutes and let slip away. But other than that, they played very well. They destroyed New Mexico, the one game out in Los Angeles that I was able to get to. And then they beat a quality Nebraska team and then beat Michigan on the road. So they're sitting there at 6-1, and Buzz Williams told me the other night that he thinks that this team, because of their work up to this point, is poised to have the biggest month of December in program history. And I haven't really seen him or heard him say things like that all that often. So he's pretty excited about where his team is at the moment, I think.
And I'm looking here. Is every single game in December at home?
Yes, it is, and that was another funny aspect. We told that to Buzz the other day, and he didn't realize that. We told him we had six in a row at home, and he's like, is that right? Who are we playing after we play Maryland Eastern Shore? So you know how much emphasis he had on that road trip out west, and you could see that being around him. So, yeah, they'll get back to it tonight against the Hawks and try to recenter is the word that he used the other night, and then you've got a quality Mississippi team coming in this weekend. So, yeah, everything's right here in Castle until your ACC schedule, basically.
Okay, coverage begins tonight, 96.1 The Planet at 8 o'clock with John Lazor and Mike Burnup. Let's do a lightning round. All right, here we go. Five questions from Lays to me, five questions from me to Lays. Let me start.
Okay.
Give me a fun fact about Arkansas that you've learned so far.
Well, it's a fun fact for the Hokies offense, and that is against top 25 competition, Arkansas is giving up very nearly 500 yards of total offense per game. So this is a defense in Arkansas that has struggled mightily throughout the season, particularly against quality competition. Look for the Hokies to light up the scoreboard in Charlotte. White Sox swap Chris Sale to the Red Sox and mortgage the farm. Where do you stand on proven commodities for bulk potential? Trying to win now.
Depends on the team, depends on the situation. If you're just trying to, you know, pie in the sky dreams and go get a guy, I think it's asinine. But in the Red Sox case, in their situation, if you got it around you, if you can go get it, go get it. Because prospects sometimes always aren't prospecting. So I have no problem with the Red Sox. Now, in the Nationals case, I didn't mind them giving up the prospects, but I don't blame Mike Rizzo for not giving up Trey Turner. So it depends on the situation, but yeah, if the Red Sox, what you got around you, yeah, life's short, go for it. So you're decorating the apartment. Solid white lights or multicolor Christmas lights?
Well, we actually had this conversation the other day, and the answer is unequivocally and every single time, multicolored lights, white. Lights are stuffy, Wes. Multicolored lights are fun.
You the man. So what'd she say?
We got multicolored lights up.
Attaboy!
It's not because I won. We happen to agree on that one. It's not always a debate. All right, next. That night, we watched Christmas Vacation. What's your go-to Christmas movie? And don't say Christmas Story because you know it sucks.
Not my favorite Christmas Story, but yeah. I just talked about this on the air the other day. Because, what was it? Paul, what was it? Was it Monday Night Football? What was it that I decided to watch that I wanted? Oh, it was last Thursday. Thursday Night Football. Cowboys, Vikings. I was like, oh, National Lampoon's was on. It was the 27th anniversary. So it's National Lampoon's. Cousin Eddie never gets old. Every single time I hear, you know, the blank is full when he's out there drinking the Meisterbrow, I lose it every single time. That and an underrated one, underappreciated, Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. That was on right after it.
Bill Murray, Bobcat Goldthwait, fantastic.
And anything with Mario Lopez usually ends well as well, also.
Stop. Next. Matt Burke will be on the show in 10 minutes. Former Minnesota Vikings center. Who is your favorite non-quarterback, running back, or wide receiver Minnesota Viking?
Well, Matt Burke is up there, my friend, because he was actually there the day my radio career started. He used to come in and do radio hits on KFAN way back in the day. He was overcoming a very pronounced stuttering problem and did so to become a pretty prominent broadcaster. He was a heck of a nice guy. I love Matt Burke. But John Randall is that answer for pretty much all Vikings fans. Very first fantasy football draft back in the late 90s, one of my buddies didn't understand the system, and he insisted upon drafting John Randall in the first round. We weren't even having individual defensive players, so eventually we relented after his sixth beer and just gave him the Vikings defense.
There you go. Next!
Wes, why do they make so many players who have absolutely no chance of winning the Heisman Trophy parade around New York like they actually do have a chance?
Now, see, I like this. I actually like that there are five guys going because I think it's, and I find it to be an honor to vote for the second and the third guy. I think there's an honor in that. So I like that. I like that they all get to go up to New York, have that experience, get the pomp and circumstance, get all the special treatment, get to go on TV, get to go on the shopping spree. I actually have no problem with it. And I think those guys, they pretty much know that they're fighting for second and third. But, hey, it's an experience of a lifetime.
Second, third, fourth, and fifth. Take three guys, tops.
No, I actually like five. And look, this year, find me a clear-cut two and three this year. That's why there's five going. I have no problem with it. One more. Bryce Harper will be a blank in 3 years. What?
He'll be a Dodger in 3 years, Ooh. And here's why, twofold, because Mike Rizzo is too arrogant to get into these contract talks, and he will do something that will ruffle the feathers of Bryce Harper between now and trying to get to a deal done. And don't forget, the Dodgers still sit on that pot of TV gold. I know some of the other franchises have caught up, but some of those original irresponsible contracts that they signed when they first hit the jackpot with Fox Sports out there are going to be finally coming off their books, and they'll have the money to go spend and get Bryce Harper. Don't forget, he's from Vegas, generally that area of the country. That's where he will be.
Seriously, A Christmas Story? You don't like it?
No, I hate it. I think it's a terrible movie. Lane Cassadante, by the way, stop texting me while I'm doing a live radio appearance. Christmas Story is not even about Christmas. It's just about a stern family that it all comes together. He gets his BB gun. But up until then, it's just all sadness.
Happy holidays to you, Mr. Happy. I'll talk to you later, bud.
Christmas music and cheer, buddy.
John
Every
Laser,
week.
Brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case.